If you do have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1 and starting to read at verse 26. We have all the kids in, so I'm not planning to be as long. You should still be home in time to see the beginning and the end of Ricky Ponting's innings. But just to say that there is a temptation even in the life of the church to fit celebrating the joy of Christmas around the family. And we want to fit it the other way around. So if God's going to be powerfully at work this morning, then we will stay on. We think that's a good thing. If you don't, well, you're free to leave, but we think you might miss out. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she proclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." That is a staggering portion of Scripture. And just reading it, I thought I'd like to do something on verse 1. And then I'd like to do something, that's verse 26. I'd like to do something on verse 38. So that's next year sorted out. But we're in the wonder zone. We're asking our Heavenly Father to open our eyes to how amazing Christmas is because of what we're celebrating. We're not getting grumpy about the way that the meaning of Christmas has been lost. We're not going to moan about people being into materialism. You can do that on your own time if you like to, but we're not going to do that. We're going to be restoring all that we can in our hearts and minds. And today is very much about mothers and babies, but it's also about calling and partnership. It's another part of the Christmas message that opens our eyes to the greatness of God and to the kindness of God, to the stunning possibilities and to the astonishing provision of God, and that opens our eyes to who we really are as His children. So the context, which you are all familiar with, but I'll just remind you, is the angel Gabriel has appeared to Zechariah. He and his wife are both old. The Bible doesn't pull any punches, does it? It doesn't do any of this, you know, just because you're old and you're barren. There you go. She's never been able to have children. And Gabriel tells Zechariah that they're going to have a baby and they're to call him John. He's going to be great. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Now, that is a completely new concept. Just that is a completely new concept of the Holy Spirit. If you think back through the Old Testament, God anointed special people, prophets and kings, for example, with His Spirit. And the Spirit was given for specific tasks at particular times. So Gideon was filled with the Spirit to lead the Israelites into battle. Moses was filled with the Spirit to carry out the Exodus from Egypt. John is the first person who, from his birth, was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get to Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, quoting from the prophet Joel, says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." That's Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. So from then on, it was possible for all believers to live a life in the Spirit. And John was a forerunner of that Pentecost experience. So this is staggering stuff. For Zechariah to hear, one, that his wife is capable of having children, is going to have one. They seem to be more troubled about the fact he's going to be called John as well, because that's not a family name. And that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Now, as you know, Zechariah asks a few questions and Gabriel isn't well pleased. So Zechariah gets to not speak for a long time. He goes on to say, the angel, "Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So there's an amazing calling on John's life. It's miraculous even that he should be born. Elizabeth does indeed become pregnant, and she goes into seclusion for 5 months. Now, we don't know why she does that. She is rejoicing because her disgrace is being taken away. And there's one, in one sense, you might want think she'd want to go and show everyone. See? Baby. It may have been that she wanted to spend time specifically just really worshipping God and in His presence. It may have been that she was really taking care of herself. We don't know. But Gabriel's pretty busy at the moment, and he heads on to talk to Mary. It talks about a miraculous baby. And three things that, again, are almost beyond imagination. Son of God, well, that for starters. Given the throne of David and having an everlasting kingdom. It's beyond thinking, isn't it? Almost. And by the way, says Gabriel, just in case you haven't been blown away enough, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. She's 6 months pregnant, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary signs up. She just signs up. Completely. And then she hurries off to see Elizabeth, which, by the way, is a potentially difficult and dangerous journey up into the hills. She would probably have had to make sure that she went with a party that was going up there, because there were thieves in them, their hills. But no sooner does she speak a greeting on arrival at Zechariah and Elizabeth, so that two things happen. One, John leaps inside Elizabeth as his response to the unborn Jesus and to Mary. And two, Elizabeth speaks out, well, actually, she shouts out prophetically under the Holy Spirit's anointing, which wasn't normal. It wasn't normal for a woman suddenly to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and to speak out prophetically. And to get an idea of it, I just imagine you're going out Boxing Day today and you go and see your Auntie Susan. You get in there. "Hi, Auntie Susan. Hail, favored one." You know, it's a bit unusual. So she confirms the word of the angel, and then she commends her under the anointing of the Spirit for her faith. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. It's full of wonder, this story. But I want to look quickly at just two things. It's about the mothers and the babies, but it's about partnership and it's about calling. First of all, just thinking about who we partner with, about partnership. You've heard the Christmas story so many times, and people have said so many times that it's difficult to imagine what must have been going through Mary's head. It must have been overwhelming. She could well have wanted to escape, just to get away, just to clear her head or whatever. But where does she go? Where does she hurry? Where does she turn? She turns to the other person who she knows is part of this faith story. That's where she turns. She turns to the other person who is tied up in the miraculous, the one who can confirm and affirm in these difficult times. That's where she goes. And she spends 3 months there. I would love to have heard what they talked about. If the beginning of their conversation went like that, just imagine some of the things they talked about during those 3 months. And just imagine walking through that door, wondering if you were mad. And within seconds, faith starting to rise. That would have set the tone for the rest of the time. I'm not going mad. This really is the hand of God. And Mary's faith and praise spill over into a fantastic song, the Magnificat, which you can read about. It just goes on straight after what I've done. Don't read it now, because you won't be listening to me, but it's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. She is inspired. Now, when we're stretched, and we do get stretched, when God calls us into places where it seems impossible, where it doesn't make sense, where we don't quite know what to do, when it's beyond our control, when it's beyond our understanding, when it's beyond even our imagination, who do we partner with? Who do we partner with? Do we partner with those who will help us move out in faith and trust? Do we partner with those who are on a similar challenging journey? Or do we end up partnering with those who take us into doubt and worldly thinking and self-protection and compromise? Who do we partner with? It's really important. And I'm not just talking about individually, but as couples too, because sometimes as couples we can partner with each other in bad ways. As families, we can partner with each other in bad ways. Are we partnering with the right people? Who has God given us to journey with? Do you not know? Because if you don't know, that's a really good question to ask as we come into the new year. Lord, who are you giving me to journey with, to partner with in faith? If you do know, are you investing in those relationships? Or are they being crowded out by other relationships? By those who don't help us step out in faith? By those who don't help us fulfill our calling? It's an important question to ask. It's something that for myself, I find to be a personal challenge, to be ensuring that in terms of the time I invest in people and people are able to invest in me, that there is enough time partnering with those who will help to see faith rise. Because it's hard yards sometimes, isn't it? And to have an Elizabeth makes all the difference. So that's partnership. And secondly, there's calling. There's a calling on John's life. Primarily, it's about preparing the way for Jesus. That's what the angel speaks. And Jesus goes on to confirm that in Matthew chapter 11. He says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 10, "This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.'" And then he says, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." And then he says, "Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now that is utterly staggering as well. Jesus is saying that the greatest man who ever lived, people who come into the kingdom of heaven as the result of what Jesus does through his death and resurrection and through the Holy Spirit being given, will be greater than him. 2 things about that, which is part of the wonder of the Christmas message that stretches our understanding and broadens our thinking and opens up so much more. And here's the first. John is responding to his calling before he's even born. Just get your head around that for a minute. John is responding to his calling before he's even born. And 2, we are told by Jesus that we are greater than John. That he was the forerunner, and we can have the fullness of the Holy Spirit that he showed in measure because of Jesus. Now, what that means, amongst other things, is that there are no age limits to God's calling on our lives. For with God, nothing is impossible. If you just think about that situation, in one moment, an old woman who is pregnant is prophesying, probably for the first time, and the baby inside her is responding to the presence of the Christ child. What does that say? I grew up in a Christian home. This isn't what it says. This is just me telling a story, in case you're wondering. I grew up in a Christian home, and at the age of 11, I had a real sense that I had to make a decision to follow Jesus for myself. Jo's a lot brighter and more mature, and so it was more like 7 for her, but there wasn't that sense of having to make a decision. There was a sense of understanding, perhaps. And so I told my mom and dad, and they said, "That's nice, darling," or words to that effect, were encouraging. I told my brother, and he said, "You can't be a Christian." It's like, "What? Well, I am." "Well, you can't be." "Why can't I be?" "Because you're 11 and I'm 14 and I'm not a Christian yet. So you can't be." Well, it turned out I was. I had a knowledge of being called into ministry at the age of 16. But I didn't come into that until I was 22. And I haven't come into the fullness of it yet. I'm still on that journey. And even in those few accounts, just it's good to get a head around this. Some come to faith older, some come younger, some can't ever remember a time when they didn't follow Jesus. All of those are completely valid expressions of faith. But there are many within and outside the church who will place age and suitability limitations on people. And I just want to say that God is not one of those people. He does not place age or suitability limitations in those ways. There are no limitations on when we can follow Jesus wholeheartedly with the understanding we have. There are no limitations on what God can call us to, because it's about God's calling, it's about God's empowering, it's about God's equipping, and that's what counts. So if you are a young boy or a young girl today, whether you're sitting at the tables or even when you're playing at the back, it doesn't mean that today you can't give your life to Jesus and say, I'm going to give my life to follow him with all of my heart, if you haven't done that already. Even if your older brother or sister hasn't. Even if mom and dad haven't. You can hear God's voice. You can follow God faithfully right now. You can be used to do amazing things right now. You can be used in the miraculous right now if God calls. John is a reminder that there are no limits. It's about God's calling. If you are older, if you have never moved in the power of the Spirit before, for the whole of your life, if you've never really cottoned on to the fact that the power of the living God is inside you, which is a clear, constant, ongoing biblical truth that you'll find all the way through the Bible. Now, I grew up in the Methodist church and they just left all the Holy Spirit bits out. I didn't even know they were there until I read the Bible myself, kind of. It's just like, hang on a minute. It can happen today. It's available to us all, even beyond what was seen in John. Elizabeth is a reminder of no limits. Wow, I'm having a baby. Wow, I'm prophesying. What just happened? The power of the living God. And so it's good to ask the question, what gifts does God want to raise up in you? Have you asked him? If you haven't, it's a really good question to ask. It can start you on an amazing journey. And all of this is because of Jesus. So there's just a couple of things today to take home about the wonder of Jesus and the wonder of God. It's about no limits. I want to say, whether you are getting on a bit like me or whether you are kids, make sure that you have friends who will help you be all God calls you to be. Some friends will pull you away from that. Some friends will pull you towards that. It's a real good idea to choose friends who will help you in faith right now, in the early days. And for some of us who are older, we still don't have that. And we still need to ask God so that we've got those firm friendships who will help us to be all God calls us to be, who won't limit the possibilities, who won't hold us back. And let our basis be what the call of God is on our lives. Let's give priority in our relationship to people who are partner with us in the call of God on our lives. So that when we're going, oh, this and this and this and this, they go, what's God said? That's how we start. Those are the kind of people who will be amazing friends in faith. Let this amazing Christmas story inspire us in our calling and inspire us in our partnership. Inspire us about the God for whom nothing is impossible, the God who has no limits, the God of the possible, for young, for old, for weak, for strong. When Mary heard this kind of news, it made her sing. And the Magnificat has become something that is extremely professionally done. But there might have been some dancing, I reckon, too, when the Magnificat first came into being. And so we're going to sing. We're going to worship in a moment. But I just wanted to say, whether young or whether old this morning, if you've had that challenge to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, either for the first time or you know that you've drifted a long way away, we'd love to pray with you. You might only be 5 years old. You might be 80. We'd love to pray with you. We would normally, if folk head over onto that mat there, then that's where we can just make a little bit of time and space to stand with you in prayer. So we'd be delighted to do that. And I want to ask you and encourage you over these coming days just to ask God to remind you about what His call is on your life and what gifts He wants to raise up, and to ask Him about those who can inspire you in your faith. Who are the people to be partnering with? Who are the people that can help you grow and become all that you could be? So let's pray, and then we'll worship. Heavenly Father, we want to ask that over this Christmas time, that in our hearts and in our minds, the wonder of who You are will grow, that You will become greater, that our awareness of Your love will grow, our awareness of Your power will grow, our awareness of Your wisdom will grow, and that faith and trust in You will grow, and that our understanding of what the possibilities are will grow. And we ask too that You'll lead us in our journey with You, and that You'll help us to find those who can stand with us in ways that encourage us and inspire us. And we ask, Lord, that You'd help us to be those sort of people for others too, to look out for those who are struggling, and to actually help draw out of them all You've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And just to close before we sing, just want to remind you that you can, when people come to you and they want you to stand with them and they say, I just don't have any faith for that, just say, you can borrow mine. Because if you look at the accounts of Jesus where people are healed, you watch those who bring their friend, it's their faith that sees him healed. We get very hung up sometimes on people needing faith. Well, let them borrow ours until they get some of their own. Okay, bless you.